Mishpatim, Tavshin Ein Zayin. Let's take a look.
Yeah,
Chavdal, Vidyuk, that's just driving me crazy. This.
It wasn't exactly Nasa and Mishma, was it different?
No, there's Nasa and then there's Nasa and Mishma, you'll see. Let's just read it together first.
Chavdal, Yuddal?
Chavdal, Aleph. It says, Vel Moshe Omar, Alei El Hashem, Atav Aron Venodav Aviv Vashivim Mizikne Yisrael, Vishtachavise Merachok. So, this is Rashi. What is Rashi saying? Vel Moshe Omar, Parsha Zun Nemra, Kodem Aserasa Dibros, Yud Dibros. Right, ubedalad besiva ne'amar lo alei, and then fourth of Sivan, it told him to go up. Fourth of Sivan. Mm-hmm. So Rashi learns the parsha is not in order. Because we've got Parshas Yisro, and then we have,
Parshas Yisro, then
Mishpatim. Right? And the Chor Mishpatim comes after they've gotten the Aseres HaDibros. I mean, that's the Pashtus. So there are those who want to learn. Rico Vitziv has got a very unusual pshat where he wants to say that all of Parshas Mishpatim, he goes with Rashi's Derech, that these Tzukim are said before Matan Torah, but he also says even Parshas Mishpatim was said before Matan Torah. Before the, what do you call, before the Aseres HaDibros.
I just heard a word that the love, the above is extra, and it means it's a continuation.
Masculine. Okay, that's true. So, that's again, there's so many different ways when I say it. All what he called Ramban, others, they disagree with Rashi. This is after what he called Matan Torah. After Matan Torah.
Well, Rashi thinks it's before Matan
Torah? Yeah, as you said, Rashi said, Vel Moshe Omar Lei El Hashem, Atav Rom Dondov Aviv, Shivan Zigun Yisrael, says Rashi, Parsha Tu Nemra, Kodem Yud HaDibros. It's said before. This really belongs in Parshas Yisro. Like I said, the Ramban is cholik on him. He disagrees with him. Now, I would dare say that one thing we do see, in other words, even if Rashi is saying that really the order of the Torah is not chronological. In Mukta Mu'ucha B'Torah.
He said that before.
Right, he said that many times before. Right. That is a kalal. In Mukta Mu'ucha B'Torah. There's no guarantee that necessarily the order that appears in the Torah is the chronological order. But it's not like it's the playing craps, you know, what do you call it, or a roulette wheel, you know, where everybody, wherever it lands, okay, fine, let's put it over here, let's put it over there. We talked about this before. That'd be a reason why it's put over there. So I wanted to suggest that the reason why it's put over there is to tell you, we've learned all of Parshas Mishpatim. Remember, we've learned all of Parshas Mishpatim.
Uh-huh.
And now we come to the end over here, and over it's over here where it says Nasa v'Nishma, right? And look in Pasuk Zion. This parak, same parak, parak Chav Dalet, Pasuk Zion. Vayikach Sefer HaBris. Vayikrov ozni ha'am, vayomu kol asher diber Hashem na'aseh v'nishma. Na'aseh v'nishma. So na'aseh v'nishma is said over here. Now, if you go like the other mefarshim that say that it's in chronological order, that means na'aseh v'nishma was said not before Matan Torah, it was said after Matan Torah. It was said after what he called it, it was said after the Aseres HaDibros. Right, if you go with those Mepharshim, what do you call it, the Ibn Ezra, the Ramban, whatever, it comes out and we said after Matan Torah. So when we're singing on Shavuos, Uvahu bivrit yachad naseh v'nishma amru, okay, I thought it really didn't happen, I didn't recall it. It didn't happen until the time of Matan Torah, it happened afterwards. Right? So really when you finish Mishpatim, when you finish learning Baba Kama, right, etc., or Baba Metzia, or Baba Basra, then you should sing Na'aseh v'Nishma, because what do you call it? Na'aseh v'Nishma happened after, what do you call it, after Parshas Mishpatim. But according to Rashi, though, Rashi says it was before. So, but why put it over here at the end? So I want to suggest, what's the idea of Nasav and Nishma? The idea of Nasav and Nishma is that when a person commits to something, commits to doing something, before he understands it. So first of all, the first thing over there that what's been done is a person has negated, he's negated his egocentric universe in the presence of what we call the Creator. Because the one thing that we want to hold on to all the time is that at least, you know, if I've got no control over anything else, right? My family situation, my monetary situation, right? The fact that I can't get any respect from anybody, right? Those type of things. Right? And then the fact that we call, you know, all the things, but at least my me is me, right? I know what I think. I am. I think, therefore, I am. And it comes out that really that the step into Torah requires first an acceptance that I'm going to do it even before I understand it. That's one thing.
It's just like marriage.
Right. And we knew that
just
was coming.
Like getting in, you don't know what you're getting into. It's a few years. Make the decision.
Okay. Are we okay now? We feel better. So that's the commitment.
I think we got the heat on today. Why's cold?
I'm like a
year cold.
Yeah, I'm all.
That's
well,
so weird.
I'm worn out. So what do you call it? So that's one thing. The other thing is that it's only through doing that a person begins to understand. Yeah. In other words,
how does that answer you? Why is it at the end?
Oh, so I'm coming. So the idea is that oftentimes things that we do intellectually, so they remain rattling around in our brain.
In today's terms, they would say that as sensory issues.
Sensory issues? No, I'm not sure that's what I mean. I understand what you're saying about sensory issues, but I don't think that's the point that I'm trying to make in any event.
Uh-huh.
When a person, in other words, we suffer, yeah, from what Mishle refers to as being an evil. Aleph Vav Yud Lamed. An evil, right, he is Sone Das. He hates Das. An evil is Sone Das. He hates Das.
Takes the easy way out.
Right. So that's what we call. That's what I heard from Rav Moshe Shapira, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Right. He said that the shoresh of an evil. Now you brought this from the Gra. The shoresh of the word evil is iva, to want. His want, which is what he wants for himself. That overrides everything. And because of that, he is Sone Das. Das is a comprehension of something as being part of reality. Not just an abstract idea, or even not an abstract idea, not just as a concept. It's reality. Like your name, you know your name. You don't know it because you're going to check your driver's license, or check your tudat zehut, or check your passport, or check your credit card, or whatever it is. You know it because that's you. So your day of that. That's what Das is. Das is your attachment to reality. Das is also an idea of chibur, being attached, and to reality you're attached. You're attached. There's no way to describe it. So an evil is a person who is Sone Das. Why is he Sone Das? Sone Das because it contradicts his egocentric universe. He wants to be what he wants. He's evil, is miloshin iva, aleph vav hey, to want something. To want something. What I want is what I want. And therefore he's sone das, he's sone any new presentation of reality that doesn't have him at the center of the universe. Question of the pasuk of Mishle, Perek Aleph. Yiras Hashem Reishis Das. Yiras Hashem Reishis Das. Chochma Umusar Evilim Bazu. They're Mevazeit. The Chochma Umusar Evilim Bazu.
Who is Mevazeit?
The Evilim. Those were, one was an Evil. One was an Evil. So the idea being is that the Yiras Hashem is Reishis Das. Yiras Hashem, having fear of Hashem, is Reishis Das. It's the beginning of your hold on reality. It's the beginning of your hold on reality. The what do you call it? Chochma Musar Evilim Bazu, right? The Evil, he doesn't want what do you call it, to receive, and he doesn't want what do you call it, to apply. The Musar is the application of what you've received. Right, it's the introduction of its practical application in your life. Bazu, to them, they're mevaza that. They don't want that. They don't want that. They want to live according to what they want, what drives them, etc. They don't want to live in a system of kavod. They're mevaza it. They lower it. They degrade it. Kavod means you're attached to something that's higher. Right? They don't want that. So what I was thinking is that over here, that's what's taking place over here, is that the Torah puts Nasa v'Nishma, right? The Torah Nasa v'Nishma in the parsha of Mishpatim to show that what does Nasa v'Nishma say? Nasa v'Nishma says we're going to do it and then we'll understand it. In other words, I'm not going to be at the center, because if I'm at the center, then no one ever does anything before they understand what they're doing, right? They're never butel. They're never, as it were, humbling themselves and attaching themselves to something higher before they do it. People do what they want. They always do what they want. So the first step of Nasa v'Nishma, that's a humbling. That's a humbling of oneself. So it takes oneself out of the category of the Avil. But beyond that, it's not only just a statement of my not wanting to be an Evil, not wanting to be an egocentric, egocentrically evil person, but also the Torah is telling you is that through the Naseh you will understand, because since Torah is an attachment to the Rabboni Shalom, when you're Oseh, and you're Oseh first, when you're doing the mitzvos, when you're doing the dinim, when you're doing the halachos, that gives you the capacity to understand it, because it shows you want to live according to it. Not just you want to know it as some sort of abstraction rattling around in the catacombs of your brain. It shows you actually want to live that way. You want to live according to Hashem's direction. So therefore your zocheh, your merit, that Hashem would record, will reveal, give you a greater comprehension of what you're doing. You'll understand it then. If you're committed to Nase, then your Nishma is different. Your understanding is different. It's not just because of the juxtaposition we say Nase before Nishma. We said there's two chidushim in Nase and Nishma. There's one chidush in that it takes me out of the category of the Avil. It shows because I'm willing to do what he says. I'm willing to place myself under his mechubad, his kovodik, as it were, direction, and not just going to do what I want. That's the one thing. It takes me out of the egocentric universe. But in addition, Nasa v'Nishma tells us it's like a haftocha kilu. We know that through doing it, then we'll understand it. That's what the Torah says. It's true if you commit to doing it, because since the whole Torah is meant to transform the mensch, the Torah is given to us to transform us. Lo nitna Torah chazal say ela letzareth es abrios, to cleanse us. The Torah cleanses us through commitment to the Naseh. Then what do you call it? Then we understand. But you might have thought that whole din, that whole concept, is only applicable Moshe knew that also. You might have thought that, but that's only applicable in, you know, tzitzis, tefillin, you know. Lulav, sukkah.
What?
The idea that through doing it, then I would call, now I understand what the Torah is saying. But you could have thought that ben adam lechaveiro, mishpatim, damages, theft, what do you call all the halachas in mishpatim, you'd say, okay, listen, you gotta manage, you know, you have to live life. And really, the ikar is your attachment to the Creator, and that's what a person is meant to do. That's what a person is meant to do. And once he's really caught, he's attached to his Creator, so he's got to live in this world, and this world is, you know, what can you do? It's unfortunately, it's populated by other people as well. So you need some rules and regulations in order, as it were, to be able to maneuver in the labyrinth of this world. Comes the Torah and says, no! It's not just through the laws of sukkah and tefillin and tzitzis and lulav and matzah, etc., that you one, as it were, gets a greater understanding of what's being said once he's committed to doing it. When a person is committed to following the mishpatim, the dealings of Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, then that also causes the person, which you have to know that it's on the totality of the Torah, that gives the person the ability, as it were, to understand afterwards, through his actions, through his commitment, to Nasa, to doing it, he gets the greater ability to Nishma, to understand what's going on. But without a commitment to Nasa, in other words, if I'm not going to train my Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, I'm not going to train, you know, which is really the upshot of Parshas Mishpatim. The upshot of Parshas Mishpatim is how you deal with Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. If I'm not going to train that, then I'll be lacking in Nishma. So I dare say that's why they split this discussion of Matan Torah and put part of it in Parshas Mishpatim. So you shouldn't think that Mishpatim is just an afterthought, Kilo, or it's a necessary evil, what can you do? Yeah, really the Iker is just saying, how I'm Kavanah during my brachas.
So it's equally tied into...
Right, it's equally tied. You know, even though chronologically Rashi says it really belongs in Parshas Yisro, but they brought it at the end of Mishpatim, why? To show that the commitment to Nasa V'Nishma is not only in the world of you know, also the world of Benol Chavero, Nasa V'Nishma.
I'm a black family that if you go the one the two locusts 1 through 5 and then 6 through 10.
What's again?
The Lukos.
Oh, yeah, again.
1 through 5, and then 1 through 10. The 6 through 10. 1 and 6, 2 and 7, 3 and 8,
mm-hmm.
4 and 9, and then 5 and 10. They're all tied up within each other.
Okay.
You
know, okay.
Have you heard that before?
Okay, yeah, we have recalled. Maral talks about it. Right? Maral talks about it. Maral also says,
Adam L'Chaveiro. Don't think Adam L'Chaveiro is just the only way to go, or the other way around. Both.
Maral says that we call the first luach is to teach you how to deal with Elohim, and the second luach is to teach you how to deal with the Tzelem Elohim, man who is made in the Tzelem Elohim. So, in any event, I think that's, you know, in very broad strokes, that's why it appears here in Parshas Mishpatim.
What?
Because why this other part of something which, according to Rashi, really should be in Parshas Yisro, why they stick it at the end of Mishpatim? To show that the Nasa V'Nishma, which is the whole worldview of Torah, the acceptance, which you said, there's a twofold, limud in Nasa V'Nishma. One limud is if you're committed beforehand, right, to Nasa, that shows you have put yourself into a God-centric universe. You're not an Evil, right? You're not a person who's just going to live according to what he wants. You show you're willing to live in a God-centric universe as opposed to an egocentric universe. That's one thing. And the other thing is that the unique quality of Torah is that when you commit to the actions and you do the actions, when you commit to the actions, it transforms your ability to understand it.
Hopefully.
It's interesting, Rabbeinu Yonah in Pirkei Avos, says...
People will keep reading.
What?
Transform your understanding.
Right. Rabbeinu Yonah in Pirkei Avos says that that when the Mishnah teaches us that a person whose year also is koden l'chachmaso, chachmaso miskayemes, when your yira precedes your chachma, when your yira precedes your chachma, then chachmaso miskayemes. Right. Also, it also says in Pirkei Avos, right, that a person who's what he called whose maisim are greater than his what he called than his chachma, right, then his chachma lasts, right, masa meruba mechachmaso. So his chachma is miskayim. So
where does learning come in between this?
What do you mean?
Learning is more than chavero, or is that?
He's not addressing. He's saying if your maasim are more numerous. Let's see. What do you call it? Mishnah. I'll pick you up. Two Mishnahs. There's one Mishnah in Perek Gimel. Mishnah Tes. Rechmina ben Dosa Omer. Kol sheyira scheto kodemes lechokmaso. If your year of chet is before your chachma, chachmaso miskayemes, and your chachma is miskayem.
Right.
Choshe chachmaso kodemes the year of cheto, ain chachmaso miskayemes. If your chachma though precedes your year of chet, then record your chachma is not miskayem. Okay. Then he says afterwards, kol shemasa merubim mechachmaso. And anybody called who's maisim or meruba mechachmaso, chachmaso miskayemes. The choshe chachmaso meruba memasav ain chachmaso miskayemes. Right?
Sustained.
Right. So listen to what he says to it. It's fascinating. He says two things. He says, one, if your yiras chet is before your chachma, then your chach will be miskayim. And in addition, Chanina also says, if your maisim are greater than your chachma, right? If your maisim are greater than your chachma, then your chachma is miskayim. Two things.
See the last one again?
The first one is, if your yiras chet precedes your chachma, then your chachma miskayim. And the second one is, if your maisim are more numerous than your chachma, then your chachma will be miskayim. Interesting. So I think that really applies to the two things we're just talking about over here. If your yira precedes your chachma, so what does that mean? That means you're taking yourself out of the category of the avil, right? And what's first? What do you call it? Like it says in what do you call it in Mishlei, that we saw before, that the Evil, he's mevaza, he's bozet to what do you call it, to chachma and musar, right? He what do you call it, he can't stand that. Yira tzalakim reishis das, right? Chachma musar evilim bozu. So if your year is first, so then when your chachma will be assigned, because you're not an avil then. If your year is first, then my fear of Hashem is first, is before what I want, then your chachma will be what he called be miskayim. Then he says, the second thing he says is that if your maisim are more numerous. If your maisim are more numerous than your chachma, then your chachma will be miskayim. Why? Because your maisim are what, as it were, since the point of the Torah is meant to be transformational, it's meant to transform you, so when you are committed to your maisim, you're doing your maisim, that gives you the ability to absorb your chachma on a different level. It's not just as it were, an intellectual endeavor. It becomes part of life itself. The Rav Yonah says, how is it possible for a person to have more Maisim than knowledge? It's not possible. It's not possible. How can you have more Maisim than knowledge? If you don't know, you can't do. Says the Rabbeinu Yonah. He says, once you've committed to doing everything, he says that the Chachamim say to do. Once you've committed to doing everything that the Chachamim say to do in terms of the Torah, your commitment alone, you get schar as though you did it already. That's already considered that your Maisim are greater than you would call than your Chachma, even if you haven't done it yet. The commitment to doing it, once again, so that's an incredible chiddush. It's an incredible chiddush. The commitment to Maisim already generates the ability to absorb your Chachma on a different level. And he says, Rabbeinu Yonah, he says, that's the Yesod of Na'aseh V'Nishma. That's the Yesod of Na'aseh V'Nishma. So it comes out that there's two klalim that come out from here from Na'aseh V'Nishma. One is the klal of that a person shouldn't be egocentrically oriented. He shouldn't be an avil, one who lives by what he wants. And the second thing is that through the commitment to doing Maisim, since the purpose of the Torah is meant to be transformational, obviously not just in terms of your goof, it's meant to be transformational in terms of your deeds, in terms of your words, in terms of your thoughts as well, but the commitment to action is the word gives a person a greater capacity to be able to absorb the chokhmah, your chokhmah is miskayin. It's an amazing thing.
You say chokhmah is yira?
No. Chachmah is what you call Chachmah is wisdom, is acceptance of wisdom to the outside, but it depends on what terms you're accepting. I can accept it because I want to be able to puff away on my meerschaum pipe and look good in the base medrash even. What do you call it? And say, hey, look at this. I go, I'll put you in a paper bag. See this, honey. See if you can answer this question. Right? God forbid a person to be like that. That's already really, really, really low madrega. That's almanas lakanter. That's a terrible thing.
Depends on what's in the pipe.
Yeah.
By the way, so, how do you spell avil?
What? Avil? Aleph, Vav, Yud, Lamed. That's what I said. It's the root. As I heard from...
Like the word evil.
Sort of, yeah. Right.
What do you mean sort of?
Yeah.
It is the word evil.
Okay. Right.
Interesting.
Avil.
Okay.
Avil.
Trying not to.
Yeah, trying to be evil or evil. Yeah, evil can evil. Fine. So that's why I think they find it in the end of Mishpatim to know that part of this superstructure that we've seen over here of what Na'aseh V'Nishma tells us doesn't just speak to mitzvahs of Ben Adam L'Makom. It's also required in mitzvahs of Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. It's almost like the Hakdama to Parshas Yitzro was Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar, that the Jewish people, as it were, encamped. It doesn't say Vayachanu, it says Vayichan, to teach us. Right? To teach us, like one person with one heart. And that's a prerequisite to Kabbalah's Torah. So here, well, we're concluding the story of Matan Torah, we're concluding within the context of Mishpatim to realize that that's all part of the totality of the Torah. That's all part of what's necessary for a person, as it were, to be a true acceptor of the Torah. Not just the Bein Adam L'Makom, but also the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. Of course, it doesn't exclude the Bein Adam L'Makom either, but that's what we have to understand. So it's interesting. Right. So Moshe Amar Alei Lai Al Hashem. Back to Pasuk Aleph again. Atav Aron V'Nadav Aviv V'Shivim Mizikne Yisrael V'Yishtachavisa Merachok. You know what it's like, almost. Pasuk says in Eov, Umipsori Ech Ze Eloka. Umipsori Ech Ze Eloka. from my flesh I will see God. From my flesh I will see God. My flesh I will see God. In other words, because when a person realizes the godless, the greatness of man, that Hashem made him in such a fashion, because the entire universe is constructed according to the structure of a person. It is not in the aftermath. In other words, we are the physical manifestation of the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed the universe. That's what Adam is. That's why we would call Adam has Ramach Evarim. Right, 248 organs, and shasa gidim, and 365, as it were, sinews or vessels, whatever it is, yeah. And what do you call it? And that's the number of mitzvahs that we have, because the shorish of everything is in that order, the order of man. In the universe, there's the concept of the rosh. There's the concept of the Inayim, the concept of the Oznayim, the concept of the Af, the Peh, the whole goof. Right arm, left arm, the trunk, what do you call it, the legs, even the organs of reproduction. They're all there in the universe, conceptually. We are the physical crystallization of that. So just like Mubsari Echza Eloka, from my flesh I will see God. In other words, a person, as it were, who recognizes the Kedusha that's inside of him and treats himself as such, then that person has a greater capacity to understand the Rabboni Shalom. When we live in a dichotomy of, you know, my goof is, you know, I'll let it do whatever it wants. You know, we'll party here and there, we'll go there and there, next to record. It's like, you know, it's like my head and maybe my heart, you know, then maybe I'll give that over to the Rabboni Shalom every once in a while, but my goof is running amok. So then the person is denied that level of connection. But if he recognizes the Kedushas HaGuf, we'll be sorry, Echze Eloka. It's funny, in the Pasuk in Eov, it says, what do you call it? V'achrei orim nikfu zos, I think the Pasuk says. V'bsari etzel lokad. There he's talking about, my flesh has been stricken through suffering. Because what happens is, when through suffering, right, we should always be spared. But a person, as it were, a person stops taking his goof for granted, right? He's just assuming that the goof is just there for whatever, as a pleasure machine, etc. That generates a greater ability to see Mubisari Echza Eloka. It gives him the capacity, as it were, to see his creator. So here, so what did it happen over here? So Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Moshe and Aaron, Adav Aviv, Shivim Zigni Israel, Vishtachavisim Erachok, Vigash Moshe Levado El Hashem, Pasuk Beis, Heim Lo Yugashu, Va'am Lo Yalu Imo. Vayav Moshe V'yasapir Lo'am Eskol Divrei Hashem. Now, so Moshe Rabbeinu comes and he says, this is in Pasuk Gimel, Uvayav Moshe v'yasapir lo'am es kol divrei Hashem, ve'eis kol ha-mishpatim, v'yan kol ha'am, kol echad, v'yomu kol ha-dvarim asher divrei Hashem na'aseh. So what does Rashi say on that? Right? Pasuk Gimel. Uvayav Moshe v'yasapir lo'am, on that same day, right, we're talking on Dalad Sivan, the fourth day of Sivan, it's called Divrei Hashem, that which Hashem said, mitzvahs prisha v'hagbola. Right? There's that they should separate themselves from their wives, right? V'hagbola is they should establish, they should section off, as it were, Har Sinai. They should set up gvulim. We saw last week from the Meshech Chachman that they themselves became the gvulim.
This is repeated again now in the Torah.
It doesn't say it mafurish. It just says it
in the.
We learned that in Yisro, right? But there it said it mafurish. Here it just says Yavam Moshe Yisaper Lo Am is called Divrei Hashem. The Divrei Hashem. What are those Divrei Hashem? It doesn't explain. So Rashi says, what is it referring to? It's referring to mitzvahs prisha v'hagbala. Agbala. In other words, the idea being, it's very interesting. Especially if you go with the Meshech Chachma's Hezra that we saw last week, the Prisha first means if you want to enter into the world of Torah, so you have to at least first you have to step out. You know what it's like? It's like
what's repression mean?
To separate. Right? To separate. In other words, it's like the Rambam says in Hilchos Deos, that sometimes when a person is trying to find himself to bring himself to the middle road. Right? He's trying to bring himself to the middle. But he finds that he's because that's what the Rambam always says you should always be balanced. But let's say I lean in one direction or another. I lean in a direction that's whatever. So you need to go bend in the other direction entirely to bring yourself back to the middle, to modulate your conduct. So over here,
I wouldn't say modulate, I would say even it out.
Okay, I should say that, even out your conduct. Right. So here, what has he told us over here? The first thing he tells them is separate yourself, what do you call it, from family life here. In other words, we have to realize you're stepping into a new plane right now. Not that you're going to stay like that all the time. You're not going to stay like the Klaus Jones, not going to stay like that all the time. Moshe Rabbeinu Maisa is, but nobody else is going to stay like that, separate from, what do you call it, family life.
47?
But step out in order to be able to enter into this new way of looking at things. The first thing he says is Prisha. The next thing is Hagbala. Hagbala, if we say it like the Meshech Chachma especially, in other words, you yourselves are now going to become the partitions of Kedusha. Right? You yourselves are going to be like the Mechid, just like the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash. There are different sections. There's Kodesh Kodashim, there's
Hagbala
the...
Hagbala means to accept.
What?
Hagbala means
no,
Hagbala.
No, that's Kabbalah. This is Hagbala, like Milosh and Gvul, just like the border is a Gvul. Hagbala, to set up the borders, as it were, the partitions. So he says to them, he says, Vayisapra la'am is called Divrei, Vayavu Moshe, Vayisapra la'am is called Divrei Hashem. The mitzvah of Prishav Hagbala, the eighth kol mishpatim, and all of the mishpatim. So one of the mishpatim, Zayin mitzvahs, Shinstavu b'nei Noach, right? And Shabbos, and Kibbutz Avim, and Paraduma, and Dinim Shinitlam B'morah. So these are things that they've heard already. The Ramban says over here, this proves the point that it can't be talking about the seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach, and it can't be talking about Yamara, and all those really called cool, those things that got, because the word, the terminology, Vayisaper, is keep on telling you something new, I'm telling you a new story, right? And that they heard already by Barshas V'Shalach, that's a long time ago. But it has to be referred to Mishpatim. That's why the Ramban is cholik on Rashi when he says that this part of the Parsha
came after.
He says it's coming after Mishpatim. This is not referring back to Yisro.
Why? Because it takes. Because
the terminology Vayisaper, right? Vayisaper is though I'm telling you something new. But if it's talking about those things, if it's talking about Mishpatim, so then recalls that the Moshe Rabbeinu tells over all this. The question is, what does it mean? Vayisaper l'am is kol divrei Hashem. The eighth kol Mishpatim. So the Ramban says, what do you mean if the Mishpatim, what is Mishpatim referring to over here? If you say it's referring to Parashas Mishpatim, I understand, that's something new. You could say the word Vayisaper, you could use the verb Vayisaper, I'm telling you something new. Right? But if what do you call, you're saying is referring back to what they already heard in Parashas Mishalach, right? Two Parashas ago, that's not something new. Why, you couldn't use the verb Vayisaper. But if what we're saying is...
Vayisaper is only used in the context of something new?
Yeah, like I'm telling you a story.
Where do you see that from?
That's what Ramban says. He proves it from other places. What do you call that? If I'm telling you something new, I tell you a story. Like, if I tell you a story more than once, it's not very interesting. Right? It's a sign that I'm losing a little bit of my marbles.
I tell it all the time to my wife.
Okay.
I tell it over and over.
Okay, let's relax. So what do you call it? Sit here? But that's what he says. But if what we're saying is true, right, that what he's giving over to the Jewish people now is a whole new way of looking at things. So their acceptance, their relationship also with the Zayin Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, and the things they heard already, it's like a new Sipur. It's in the context of separate yourself from family life because we're going to enter into a new plane. Hagbalah, let's say like the Meshech Chochmah says, you yourselves are now becoming as it were the walls, the partitions of Kedusha. When he tells them over what they've heard already, they're understanding it a different way. They're understanding in a different context. That's something new. If I tell you a story, right? I tell you a story. And the story is, you know, whatever, it's a story. Okay, and you just think it's a story. And then I explain to you how the story really is a mushel to something. When you hear the story afterwards, you hear it on a whole different level. You hear it in a different way. It's like a new story. So within the context of, right, within the context of the receiving, you're now entering into a new plane. Retreat a little bit from normal life. Retreat from normal life and realize that you are now yourself becoming the walls of what you call the partitions of Kedusha in the world. Then when you hear even things that you've heard before, Kibbutz Avraham, Paraduma, some of the Mishpatim that they learned there, even Zayin Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, you look at it differently. You absorb it differently. Vayan kol am kol echad, right? They answered kol echad with one voice. Vayomu kol advar mashir gibra Hashem nase. Everything that you have said, we will do. We will do. The idea being that we're completely committed. Vayichtov Moshe es kol divrei Hashem vayashkem babokir vayivim izbeach tachas ahar shtemetre matzeva l'shnemetar shivte Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu now wrote vayichtov is kol divrei Hashem. What is vayichtov kol divrei Hashem? Mibreishis v'ad matan Torah because of mitzvah shenitztavu b'morah. Very interesting. Right? Very interesting. Now what's he writing down? He's writing down everything from Breishis until Matan Torah, and he's writing down the mitzvah shenitztavu b'morah, the same mitzvah that he told him about before. He's writing it down now. Why? Because this is now going to be, I think, the lashon of the. Well, who's the lashon? Rebbe Bakke says, "Vayichta Moshe is called Divrei Hashem, Heim Hatznoyim." But the Tznoyim.
Well, I don't understand what he's saying now.
In other words, what is Moshe Rabbeinu doing now? First, he tells them over, right, the mitzvahs that they had at Mara. And he tells them over, it says they separate themselves, etc., etc., etc. And now it says in Pasuk Dal Vayichtov Moshe is called Divrei Hashem. He's writing it down for them. What is he writing down? It says Rashi wrote down Mibreishis van Matan Torah. Wrote down the whole Torah from Breishis up until this point, and he wrote the mitzvot shenitztavu b'mara, the mitzvot that they received at Mara, and this becomes the Tznayim, says the Rabbeinu Bakke. These become the Tznayim. Heim HaTznayim. Vayayim Shamoa Tishmu B'Koli U'Shmartem Es Brisi. These are the Tznayim. That's Perek Yutes Pasuk Hey. It's interesting. Test Pasuk Hey. The Rabbeinu Bakke says that he wrote down for them it says in Perik in Yisro Perik Test Pasuk Hey, V'ata im shamoa tishmu b'koli u'shmatem es brisi, if you listen to my voice. My voice, Ushmartim is received, and you keep my covenant, my bris. The Yisilmi Segula Mikola Amim. You will be like a treasure to me out of all the nations. Kili Kola Arts. For me is all the earth. In other words, these are the times, the purpose of writing it down. So according to Rabbeinu Bakke, he's writing down, this is what is going to make you into a unique nation amongst all the nations. According to Rashi, it also could be communicating that, but what he's doing is, I'm writing down, I'm showing you how you got to this point. In other words, I'm writing down the whole story of the Torah from Adam and Rishon all the way to Matan Torah, and the mitzvahs that you've gotten that we just discussed with you, and you know you're now entering into a new realm. In other words, the context of what's being written is that Rashi and Rabbeinu Bakke are not saying the same thing, but conceptually what's being done is these are the conditions of entering into the bris. Moshe Rabbeinu, the way Rabbeinu Bakke learns is this is the promise of you being unique, right? You're unique, and according to Rashi, what he's writing down is the backdrop the backdrop of your new, I don't know, I guess your new understanding, your new relationship. Yeah. And then with a Yashkim a book of even Mizbeir Tachas a Horu Shteimus Rematzevlish.
The word Gevul actually is applicable even to after the time in Matan Torah. That whole point to make yourself a Gevul.
Yeah.
Is actually all
right. So we have to realize we regenerate. I mean, afterwards, what Lamai say, it becomes then when they build the Mishkan. Now that's how they continue with that. And there's temporarily during Matan Torah. We are the walls of the Mishkan. Yeah. Once they build a Mishkan, once we have a Beis HaMikdash, then that becomes, but you're right, the Iker is, like the Pasuk says, Heichel Hashem, Heichel Hashem, Heichel Hashem, Heimah. We are the Heichel of Hashem. We are the sanctuary of Hashem. Okay, so the difference, what you call what is being done by Moshe here, it's a little bit different than Rabbeinu Bachya. According to Rashi, according to Rabbeinu Bachya, the idea is he's communicating to them how they're going to become different, how they're going to be transformed. Right? Because he's saying he wrote down the Tanayim that you're going to be a unique nation unto me. According to Rashi, he's writing down that which he discussed. He's writing down that which he discussed with them. He told them over again in their new...
What did he tell them?
Again, he told them over the seven mitzvahs of Noach and what he called the mitzvahs they received at Mara and... now he's writing down the entire Torah from Bereishis, right? From Bereishis up until Matan Torah, and the mitzvahs they received at Mara. The mitzvahs they received in Mara. The mitzvahs they received in Mara.
So, Ben, by this point in the history, they already had a sense of a closeness to Hashem that was never experienced by anybody else. The whole Jewish people was a klal. Mm-hmm. And therefore they are told, keep this up and you'll develop even higher kavod. You'll be even higher and higher.
So, you're right. I mean, it's one written about him for sure that when he's writing it down, with the he's writing down that you're going to become a unique nation.
Unique nation.
Unique nation. It could be, again, I don't know. I don't recall that the writing it down for as far as Rashi is concerned is I'm writing down for you what's happened until now.
The whole Torah?
No, he wrote that. He didn't write the whole. He hadn't got the Torah yet. He's wrote down from Bereishis until Matan Torah.
Wait, that's a Machlokas.
What Rish Lakish and Rav Yochanan? No, yeah, what
is it? Machlokas whether or not they got the Torah yet. Is that from Matan Torah?
Oh yeah, okay, Seder. But I'm saying he wrote down from Bereishis. That they'd experienced already. That was history already.
So
for that. Bereishis didn't until Matan Torah, and then he wrote down the seven the mitzvahs they received at Mara. I dare
they
say.
The Shabbos, right?
Well, Shabbos. What do you call Kibbutz Avayim? What do you call some mishpat? Some legal things, and what do you call Paraduma, etc. It's a machlokas, whatever. But Kibbutz Avayim. Yeah, we said mention Kibbutz Avayim. And then he's giving this. He's giving this to them. Vayashkem, right? Again, Vayichtav Moshe is called Divrei Hashem. Vayashkem Baboker Vayivim Mizbeach Tachas Ahar Ushtemisrei Matseva. I mean, again, this is just my feeling that what he wrote for them, this is the Torah up until now, and now with your acceptance of the Torah, you're entering into the Torah. You're entering into the Torah. Your acceptance of the Torah is now going to be part of this Torah. I'm showing what you're entering into. It's like, you know, God, Havdil. It's like stepping through the looking glass. This is what's been written until now, and now you're entering the world where you are now going to become the new part of what's going to be written in the Torah.
Okay?
And it builds what he called the Shemus Rei Matseva, the Shemus Rei Shifti Israel, to show the what he called all the different tribes. Once again, just like the encampment that eventually is going to take place.
The
12 monuments.
That weren't until after they crossed over the Jordan. That's till the end of
it. No, these are different things. These are what we call. These are 12 monuments.
Altars.
Well, we call it. Right?
Is here at the end of this week's portion?
Yeah.
So
but not in the middle of the Yarding. Just what he called, they put 20 monuments, where we call it, they're going to do their service right now.
So tell me one more time, how do you reconcile the fact that we're being told twice about Matan Torah?
What do you mean?
Was it given in Parshas Yisro, or is it given here?
I'm saying, Rashi's saying that all of this really took place prior to Matan Torah and Parshas Yisro. The only reason we said that it's put here at the end of Mishpatim is to show the necessity to recognizing that the Mishpatim, the world of Bein Adam LeChaveiro, is part of the context of all of Matan Torah, not just an afterthought, right? Right? Sometimes people, like we said, look at the world, they look at the world as though, well, what's Torah? Torah is Lulav. Torah is Brachos. Bein Adam LeChaveiro, I would say they're okay, what do you call it? If we don't get some sort of water over here, then what do you call it? We're going to kill each other. But that's just a necessary evil, not necessarily evil, but it's a necessary for sociological reasons. Not true. That's part of the Torah itself. A person develops from that. A person understands even more from that. Right, very good. By Yishlak is not even Israel. By Alu Olos, Vizbuchu Zvachim, Shlomim, Lashem, Porim. Remember, we learned the Netziv in, albeit not quite exactly the same, but he said the idea of the Olos and the Zvachim, the Olos and the Shlomim, those korbanos that they're bringing, the Olos is to train the mind, right? Remember, we said the Yisro brought, right? Again, here now they're bringing over here, just like Yisro over there. Again, it's not exactly the same because there we said Elohim, but the idea of the Ola is to cleanse the thoughts, right? The machshava,
and
the zvachim, right? It's a shalom, internal shalom, and shalom between everybody else. So they bring them once again, and that's how they're entering into it. ויקח משה חצי אדם ויוסם בגונוס וחצי אדם זרק על מזבח. He placed it into basins, the blood from these korbanos,
and then he sprinkled it on the people.
Right, sprinkled on the people. And then listen to what it says here. It says ויקח. It says ויקח sefer abris. He takes the sefer abris. ויקרא באוזני העם. ויאמר כל אשר דיבר השם נעשה ונשמע. Listen to that.
Right.
It's a gavaldika thing. He spoke out already to them. He spoke out to them the seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach. He spoke out to them that which they received at Marah. Then he wrote the Sefer Abris.
Moshe
wrote the Sefer Bris. The Sefer Bris says what Rashi is from the beginning of Bereishis up until Matan Torah and the mitzvahs they received at Marah. Then now it comes and he reads it to them. Vayikach Moshe et Adam. Yeah, I'm sorry. Vayikach Sefer Bris. He takes the Sefer Bris. Vayikro beozni ha'am and he reads it to them. Vayom l'kol asher diber Hashem na'aseh v'nishma.
Ozni is to the ears of the people.
Right. He read it into the what he called beozni ha'am until they should hear it. Right. Beozni ha'am. It's interesting. Why it says beozni ha'am? Beozni ha'am. Beozni in their ears. Right. Bozneam. He read it. What he called? He read it. Bozneam in the ears. What does the Targum say? Bozneam. No, he doesn't make a recall. Bikrava Bozneam. Hazinu. What he called? I guess Hazinu Shemaim v'Daber v'Sishma Aretz Imre Fi Hazinu. Hazinu is what he called. Pay attention, and don't just hear it, but what he called. Pay attention to it. He read it in Bazneam, and what was the reaction? Kosher Diber Hashem Naseh Vinishma. Now they say Naseh Vinishma. In other words, when he reads to them, I've led you the whole Torah until now, and now you're going to enter into this Torah, you're not going to continue writing this Torah. With all the dinim, all that you're going to be becoming, you're going to be part of it. Then the Jewish people understood, and they said, Naseh, we see, we understand, we will do it, and from that we know we will Nishma. It's a little bit of a different understanding of Na'aseh V'Nishma. It's not just because they said Na'aseh V'Nishma. Therefore, what he called, they were Zoche, what he called, they'll understand better. They understood that by being Na'aseh, jumping into the Torah, what he called, they will Nishma, they will understand. They knew that they're entering into a new level of existence. Afterwards it describes that the higher echelons now go a step further.
What's
from
the sections now of Klal Yisrael. He sprinkles the dam on them, right? And he makes a bris with them, with the Jewish people.
That's higher echelon. Everybody, some people created more than others.
It's what we call, are you a socialist here? Moshe Aaron, Nadav Avihu. Yeah, Vayal Moshe Aaron. Okay, let me invent that shape. Vayal Moshe Aaron, Nadav Avihu, Vishiv Mizikni Yisrael. Vayiru Es Elokei Yisrael, Vasachas Raglov Kimaseh. See, it's an interesting thing. L'chora, what enables, it's just like what the Chazal teaches on when they tell Moshe Rabbeinu, Lech Raid, but the Meshech Chachma told us last week that when Hashem told Lech Raid and then come back up to the mountain, he said the idea was, you know, through, once the Klal Yisrael becomes interested in the world of Kedusha, into the world of Kedusha, then you, as you walk up through Klal Yisrael up to the mountain, you will enter into a new level. Because since they've entered into a new level, now you, as it were, you've got a new environment that you go into even a higher level.
Hashem was telling Moshe that?
That was in last week's Parsha, right? When told Moshe Rabbeinu, be Magbil Ba'am, remember the Meshech Chachma, and then Lech, and then go down and then come back up again. The idea being is like you're entering into the Mikdash of Klal Yisrael, and you're rising up onto the mountain. Or, like it says in Parshas Kisisa, after Klal Yisrael sins, Lech Raid, go down after they've sinned. Klum Nasati L'chagdula El Bishvilam. Though I only gave you your greatness because the Jewish people were put together, but after the Chet HaEgel, they're broken apart. You don't deserve the same sort of loftiness that you had before, because it was only through their merit that you enjoyed that special, special loftiness. I mean, the Moshe was lofty, plenty lofty, but even a more special loftiness was Zohar because of the structure of the Jewish people. So now, after the Jewish people have already entered into this, into the bris, they know they've become what you call, they're now, as they were, stepping into the Torah. They're stepping into the Torah. And that becomes they're sprinkled with the Dhamma bris. They've read the Dhamma bris, right? They've heard the Dhamma bris. They've been sprinkled with the Dhamma bris. Then it says in Pasuk Tes, Vayal Moshe Aaron, Nadav Avihu, V'shivim Yisrael. Now Moshe, Aaron, Nadav Avihu, and the seven elders, they rise up even higher. Ayiru es Elokei Yisrael, right? They saw Kobayochel es Elokei Yisrael, the Sachas Raglov Kimase Livnas Asapir, Ucheetzem Hashamayim Latohar. Right? It says that, what do you call it? It says that what? That they saw Elokei Yisrael? So the Malbim says,
they saw God?
They saw the Hanhaga of Hashem. Right, which is manifest through his attaching himself to the Jewish people. The Sachas Raglov Kemase Livnas Hasapi. What is Rashi saying? By Yerus Lekei Yisrael Nistaklu Litzitzu V'Nischayvu Misa. They look too deeply, according to Rashi. Right, they look too deeply.
Oh, and they enjoyed it. Hashem didn't punish him for that.
They didn't punish him now.
They punish him now. That's not anything unhuman.
Yeah, I said, but you don't look beyond what you have the ability to absorb. Again, just like we said, Nasa the Nishma, right? I'm going to make it part of me. I'm not going to have just something which is abstract and just part of it. See here, Vayiru es Elokei Yisrael, Nisaklu v'etzitzu v'nischayvu misa. You shouldn't look beyond what you're able to integrate into yourself. They stepped, right? If they couldn't apply it, don't go someplace. Don't go into secrets.
You already said Malachi.
That's the Jewish people as a whole now. But remember the Skenim, once the Jewish people are now, the structure is there, they can go up even higher, but they have to go to a place only that's relevant to them. You can't go someplace where you have no intention, but you're... I guess, you know, sometimes you learn things, what do you call it? You shouldn't learn things that you're not... I shouldn't say that you don't intend to implement, or you're not capable of implementing, right? Again, we're not talking about the actual chiyuv.
I wonder what the relationship was.
Don't know. Everybody cool. But we're not talking about the actual chiyuv, things you're mechuyev to do. We're talking about, obviously, secrets of Hashem's Haskarcha, because that's what he says.
When did they see that revealed secrets?
Oh! He says, "Kemase divnas asapir." He haisel afana b'shat hashibud, lizkor tzoroson shel Yisrael. They saw that we would call it that at the time of the shibud in Mitzrayim, when they record, lizkor tzoroson shel Yisrael shahim shubadim b'maise, right, b'maise levanim. When the Jewish people were being oppressed with bricks, they saw underneath his feet. They saw underneath his Kadosh Baruch Hu's hashgacha down on earth. They saw the Ma'aser Livnas Hasapir. They saw the Levanim. They saw the bricks that were there. In other words, they were entering into the world of Hashem's hashgacha of Yisurim. Why people suffer and how suffering is necessary, as it were, sometimes to bring about a greater end afterwards.
So what does this mean? Let's get down to
time out. Uche'etem Hashamayim LaTohar. Mishaniglu haya or the chedva lefonav.
What damage could they do by looking at bricks?
That's not by looking at bricks. It's so what, when you're looking, they were delving
they
into.
They saw an image. They saw a vision.
It's like
they saw Hashem's hashkacha over the bricks.
No, what time? It's not hashkacha over the bricks. But time out. The Moshe Rabbeinu asked of Hashem, "Hodieni na drachecha, show me your ways." Gemara says, "What does that mean?" Tzadik v'ralo, right? What does the Kosh Baruch answer him? He says, "Lo yirani adam v'chai." It's not possible to see that, to understand that, to comprehend that, to wrap your head around that, and still be alive. You have to be outside of the world.
So what they
were looking into, right, were secrets that are not possible to see, and still be alive.
The secrets were the way Hashem.
Right, the secrets of Hashem didn't reveal to Moshe Rabbeinu.
How he ran the world.
Certain things you understand, but sometimes you reach. Excuse me, no pun intended. You reach a brick wall. You can't understand beyond this point. They were delving into it. In other words, they're looking at that underneath the kisei kavod, holding up the kisei kavod, or underneath it are the bricks of suffering. And yet, what do you call it? Uche'etem Hashemayim LaTor Mishenigalu Hayor V'Ched V'Lefonav. That when the Jewish people were redeemed, right? So there was light and rejoicing before him. So they're looking at, on the one hand, the suffering, right? Underneath the kisei kavod is at the time of the shibud. So he should always remember the tsar of the Jewish people. What do you mean remember the tsar of the Jewish people? Just end it. They were looking at the concept of the tsar of the Shekhinah. The Tsar of the Shekhinah at the time of the Shibud and the rejoicing afterwards. What is it? Hashem is suffering? So it's when it ended. But that, to understand.
I mean, even at the time they were receiving this in the desert, they were saying the Shibud hasn't ended yet.
No. They were looking at, they saw the historical tapestry before them. They saw the livness, they saw the levanim from underneath, and the required rejoicing afterwards. Yeah, so does God go through changes? He was coming through to remember the tsar, so then end the tsar. But he didn't end the tsar, until what a point in time. Why was it necessary? This is what he called, Hashem can do whatever he wants. The concepts here that are, why the suffering, and when it end the suffering, and you're suffering along with them, and then the rejoicing afterwards. He's rejoicing. But it's more than a person that a mortal really can absorb. They couldn't wrap their heads around it completely.
After that, they got
punished. Right. It was a vision that was clear. Right.
They got punished for that. They
right.
Don't
Right, they were. They I didn't. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't. He didn't punish them then.
But Yechzel
Lakim.
Did he punish
them? What? No. Later on, Nadav Aviu and Parshas in the Mishkan, they went in, they got burnt up, and the Skanim in what he called in Parshas Baloscha, they got burnt up. Nadav Aviu, not Dostum Aviu, Nadav Aviu.
They were punished because of this.
Yeah. By Yechzel Lakim, mistakim ubalev gas mitoch achila v'shtia kach medrash tanchuma. In other words. They didn't leave behind the world of their physicality as they looked upon this. It's people they were just absorbing as a fact what they were seeing over here. But you can't look that from remaining in your normal state, right? You have to be beyond the world of eating and drinking when you see something like this, which is already so totally transcendent.
Okay, now I can understand that.
Okay.